the tax court in this case said that to conclude that 280 cap E violates this particular clause and that the penalty is excessive would in effect eliminate 280E completely from the Internal Revenue Code. And the court held that Congress has broad powers to levy and collect tax under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and has the power under the 16th Amendment to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source arrived. The court went on to find that the 16th Amendment would allow a tax on gross income, that deductions are a matter of privilege. They're not something you're automatically entitled to. And there's a lot of prior case law that supports the issue that deductions are a matter of privilege. And based upon that, the majority of the tax court concluded that the 280 cap E is not a penalty provision. There was a concurring opinion by Judge Lauber, and basically he wrote his concurring opinion merely to respond to a dissent that was written, that is written by Judge Copeland. Many of you in the audience probably remember Judge Copeland. Elizabeth was worked with me from the day she got out of law school until she joined the tax court. Elizabeth Copeland is a dear friend, was a dear partner, who I consider to be a brilliant tax lawyer. And I think the dissent that she wrote, that I'll discuss in a moment, makes a lot of good sense. But Judge Lauber, he basically said that 280E is intended to defer trafficking in controlled substances and is not considered to be a fine or punishment within the meaning of the Eighth Amendment. There was a partial dissent written by Judge Gustafson that was joined by Judge Copeland and by Judge Gecky. But I want to mention what Elizabeth, I guess I can still call her Elizabeth. When I see her, I call her Judge Copeland. She looks at me with and says, "Stanley, I'm still Elizabeth." And I said, "I can't call you Elizabeth. I can't do that." So I do call her Judge Copeland when I see her, and she gets red in the face. So red, I cannot tell you. She concurred with the result on the basis that Section 280E imposes a penalty, but she said that the taxpayer's motion for summary judgment did not provide evidence of excessiveness. So she concurred with the ultimate result of the court, but she dissented from the court's conclusion that 280 cap E is not a penalty for purposes of the Eighth Amendment. She argued that 280E is punitive in its operation, which disallows all otherwise deductible allowable deductions, rather than, as I said, the cost of the inventory. And its purpose, which is to defer the sale of controlled substances and penalizes the drug trade, as the legislative history explicitly states. I personally think it makes a lot of sense. I've always felt that this, and particularly with the growing number of states now that are legalizing certain uses of marijuana, I think at some point Congress will have to reconsider Section 280 cap E. Okay, page 13. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because based upon what I've seen in practice, please recall that Section 163J was added to the Internal Revenue Code a number of years ago. It limits the ability of businesses to deduct interest. Well, the CARES Act increased that deduction. That's about all I'm going to say. I discussed it at pages 13 and 14, but just know that the CARES Act for 2019 actually, and also for 20, increase that limitation. I doubt that many of you have seen that limitation has been particularly limiting for most of your clients. Um, on page 14, there's some discussion with regard to PPP. I know you're going to have a more detailed panel discussion on PPP. So the only thing that I want to mention is that there's a significant question that's come up, and the Internal Revenue Service has said and given its position, and which is the following. If you have forgiveness of income as a result of a PPP loan, are the expenses that you pay with that PPP loan deductible? The Internal Revenue Service has said no, they're not deductible. I can tell you that several of the sponsors of the PPP legislation have come out publicly and said that's not what we intended, and that there it's fairly certain that there will be a legislative proposal to override that position of the Internal Revenue Service. When that legislative proposal will happen, I don't think it. I doubt it'll be in this Congress, but maybe it'll be in the next. Hopefully, it'll be in the next Congress, and of course, hopefully, it'll be retroactive. Because it seems to me...